stand up here and preach to you, to talk to you, and present the Word of God to you. And I'd like to begin this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, the Holy Spirit writes to the brethren at Corinth through the hand of Paul, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." That's back in Exodus chapters 13 and 14. "And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples. They were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." He brings that very clearly to our attention, that all the things that happened in the Old Testament, all the things that happened most specifically in this example to the children of Israel in the wilderness were for our examples. And he goes on to say, they were to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What's wrong with sitting down to eat and drink? Nothing. What's wrong with rising up to play? Nothing, but that's all these people were doing. They were worshiping these idols. Verse 8, he says, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents." In verse 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now all of these things happened, again he says, unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, for our warning, to warn us not to do the same types of things. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. These things are to warn us about the type of actions, the mindset that these people had. They were God's chosen people. Turn to Romans chapter 11. They were God's chosen people and they knew it, and they let it get to their heads. And we can do the same thing as we're about to look at here in a moment. But in Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 16, we contrast the children of Israel from the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11 and verse 16, "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, again he says, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." And we read in verse 22, "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness." Isn't that great? That we can know, that we can understand that God has set goodness apart for us. That God has placed goodness in front of us and mercy in front of us. But what is he going to say here? "But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." We've got to bear that in mind. The Jews thought that they were safe. The Jews thought that they could do no wrong because they were the children of God. And they learned otherwise. In John 10, verses 27 to 29, we're told the same type of thing. And there are many people today that call themselves Christians that take this to an extreme. But in John 10, verse 27 through 29, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And people read that, and they say, there's no way, once I'm saved, there's no way I can be lost. no man can take me out of the hand of God. Do you know why nobody can take us out of the hand of God? Go back to verse 27. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. We quit following Jesus. We take ourselves out of the hand of Jesus. We take ourselves out of the hand of God. And that's what we learned back in 1 Kings chapter 3. The examples that we're looking at between the contrasting the Israelites and today. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. Back in Ezekiel chapter 34, God told the children of Israel through Moses not to take wives from the land, not to take from the daughters of the land that he would lead them to. And he told them the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. He told them, don't make wives of foreign women, lest they lead you after their gods, lead you to serve their gods. We read in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, Solomon's praying to God. Solomon's father David dies, and he has no idea how he's going to lead the children of Israel. And he prays to God, and he says, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, but I am a little child, and I know not how to go in or come out. He didn't know how to lead the people. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, and cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? He didn't have this wisdom. He didn't have this understanding, so he prayed for it. And the speech pleased the Lord in verse 10 that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither riches, nor the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. He says, Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I've given unto thee that thing which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, and keep my statutes and commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen these days. Solomon had no idea how he was going to lead these people, but he prayed to God for wisdom. And because he prayed for wisdom, God gave him wisdom and gave him more than wisdom. We read that Solomon, in praying for wisdom, he became the wisest king ever to live. The wisest king ever, wiser than any before him and wiser than any after him. And look at chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And in verse 23 he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that what? With thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Solomon, the wisest king, knew that he had to keep God's commandments. He knew that he had to walk uprightly. And in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, we read that Solomon, this wisest man on earth, had 700 wives and 300 concubines that did exactly what God told him would happen. These 700 wives and 300 concubines led his heart to serve other gods. Did God leave Solomon? Solomon left God. Solomon disobeyed the commandment of God. Solomon took himself out of God's hand. We need to consider all the examples that we've read, and we need to look at them and keep them in our minds so that we don't make the same type of mistakes. We see a commandment, we need to obey that commandment because we see what happened before when that same commandment or commandment like unto it had been disobeyed. We know what can happen. We need to consider also who we do use as examples. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 23. Excuse me, beginning of verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10:32, Paul writes, Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, in chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul made himself an example for us to follow. Because I follow Christ, follow me. Follow me the same way. Look what he writes to the brethren at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. That word perfect is to be made perfect, to reach the goal of heaven or be to be fulfilled. Not as though I were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached the goal yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that word is teleos in the Greek, that is to be mature, of full age. As many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. He tells these brethren to follow him. Follow me, because I'm following Christ. He made himself an example. Look what he told them in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul made himself an example. And Paul didn't make himself an example to receive glory of men, but rather to receive the glory so that God received glory. Paul had a lot wrong with him. He had the things that he'd done to Christians in the past, prying at his mind, haunting him. He used to persecute Christians. He used to bind them and throw them into prison. And Paul had this thorn in the flesh that we know little about, really, but we know that it bothered him quite a bit. In Philippians 2, he thanked God for preserving the life of Epaphroditus, that Paul wouldn't have sorrow upon sorrow. We know that he was bothered in the flesh. But throughout all of that, Paul was still a good example to follow, a very good example. We need to ask ourselves, are other Christians our examples? Back there in chapter 3 of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul told the Christians, he said, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. The people that are following you, the same way you follow me, mark those people. And look back on them. And use them for an example of how to be a godly Christian, of how to be a faithful Christian in this life. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. The writer of the letter says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says, keep on keeping on. You guys are doing a great thing. And keep up that work and that patience and that diligence. Keep using that and hold that patience to inherit that promise. He goes on in the following few verses, in verse 15, he makes an example out of Abraham. And so he says, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We need to follow other Christians who are being patient, who are patiently being faithful. And we need to use them as examples to inherit the promises that are promised to us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, we read, "Remember them which have the rule over you." That's not necessarily talking about an elder. In Greek, that word is guides, or in the New American Standard, says those who led you. Not every church has elders. But it says, "Remember them that have the rule over you, those who led you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow," considering the end of their conversation. Follow them. They've spoken unto you the word of God. And that's what we're looking to, that's what we're seeking to follow. Follow their faith. There are many Christians today, but especially in the Bible, who've left examples for us to follow, good examples for us to follow. And of course, we can't get through a sermon like this without asking, is Jesus your example? Jesus is the greatest example by far. Jesus is the one who did everything in his life on this earth as an example for us. He did everything not to glorify himself, but to glorify his Father in heaven. We already read 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Paul said, "Be followers together of me, even as I am Christ." Paul made Christ his example. In Romans chapter 15, Jesus showed us how to please one another. Jesus being our example gave us the perfect example of how to please one another. Romans 15, beginning at verse 2, we read, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." In Romans 15 and verse 3, we read, "For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." We're to please one another the same way Christ pleased God. We're to keep that mind, that one mind and one spirit. We're to work with one accord. The Bible tells us another place in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I believe, that we're to do, in verse 2, do everything for the edification of our neighbor. We're to help one another. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 2, Paul writes to the brethren at Philippi again, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." That's how we're supposed to be. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." And if we're going to use Christ as an example, let's keep looking here. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you," or this attitude, "which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Christ humbled himself. In verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross." That's the example that we're supposed to look to Jesus for. Back up there in verse 2, be like-minded, of one accord. In verse 3, let each esteem other better than themselves. We're all equal. Each and every one of us has different duties in Christ, different duties in the church maybe. Men have different duties than women, and some men have different duties than other men, but each and every one of us is equal. But each and every one of us has got to humble ourselves to one another. Luke 18 and verse 14 in other places says, "Let each he that humbles himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be abased." We've got to humble ourselves to one another the same way. In verse 6, of chapter 2, Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself to God. Those among us that are maybe looked upon as being higher are actually servants of servants. We've got to humble ourselves to that degree. The same way Christ humbled himself. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We read in 2 Timothy 3:12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 6 years ago, an 18-year-old girl named Cassie Renee Bernal lost her life because of what she said and what she believed. She was asked if she believed in God, and she responded very simply, yes. And the young man standing at the other end of a shotgun at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado that day took her life. It's not very often that we're truly persecuted for what we say or what we believe. John 15 and verse 18 says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's why if the world hates us, that's why. Because we're of God. We're really, really not very persecuted in this life, but we bring persecution upon ourselves, I think. I think we wonder what people are going to say when we approach them with the gospel, what people are going to, how they're going to respond to us, how they're going to treat us. And sadly, we probably worry most about what people are going to think about us. And we ought not to think like that. We ought to preach the gospel and worry about preaching the gospel. We ought to be examples and worry about being examples and not worry about how people are going to look at us. Think about Jesus. We're using Jesus for an example right now. Let's use him for an example. Look at Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. We read, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Christ could have avenged himself. How many times in the Bible does it say, vengeance is mine, vengeance belongs to the Lord? Christ is the Lord. Christ is God. We sing the song, 10,000 Angels. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set me free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Jesus didn't have to die. He didn't even have to be arrested. In Matthew 26 and verse 53, Jesus said, I can pray to my Father, and he will give me more than 12 legions of angels. A legion is 6,000, an army unit of 6,000. With support troops of 6,000. That's 12,000 in one legion. Times 12 legions is 144,000 angels. One angel in one night in 2 Kings chapter 19, one angel killed more than 5,000 Assyrians in one night. Do you have any idea how much 144,000 angels could do? And Jesus said, I could call more than 12 legions. But he willingly laid down his own life and he suffered for us. He made us an example. He made an example for us. That we need to be willing to suffer for him. We need to follow in his steps, as we just read. Jesus taught through example also that we need to love one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, we read, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Jesus taught us how to love one another. Jesus taught us that the greatest commandment, second only to loving God, as we talked about this morning, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. We've got to love one another. And 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says we're to render evil for evil to no man, but to ever follow that which is good toward each other and all men, not just those of the church, to love all men. Jesus is truly the greatest example that we have in every aspect. In every aspect of this life, in every aspect of our spiritual life. He's truly our greatest example. We need to ask ourselves, are we striving to follow the great faithful Christians? Are we striving to follow Christ? Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Let me ask a more personal question. This question is no more or less important. It's, I believe, every bit as weighty as the things that we've already looked at this morning. And that's, whose example are you? Whose example am I? Each one of us need to ask ourselves that. Whose example am I? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let so your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're not supposed to be working for ourselves. We're supposed to be working to the glory of God. We're supposed to set an example. We often use the phrase, lead by example. If we're going to teach somebody, we need to lead by example. We need to be examples of what we're preaching to them. Other Christians, are we good examples to other Christians, to our brethren and our sisters in the Lord? Especially to babes in Christ. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity." Especially to babes in Christ. Are we a good example to young children? Children naturally look up to their parents. Maybe the children that you come in contact with from day to day. Your grandchildren, the children of some of your friends maybe. Children in the neighborhood that you live in. Matthew chapter 18, we have a pretty strong warning about what kind of example we're to be to children. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Because little children accept what they're told. Because little children don't try to reason things on their own. But let's go on to see how he uses us in examples for children. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now how important is it that we be good examples to children? Especially to little children. We've got to be mindful of the example that we set for them as fathers. We're to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Are we examples to the disobedient or the unbelieving? In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read what kind of example we're supposed to be. 1 Peter chapter 2, if I can find it here, beginning at verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, that is your way of life or your behavior, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's the kind of example we're supposed to be. People of the world judge the church by its members. They judge the church by how we act, by how we present ourselves and how we hold ourselves when we're not with other Christians. People of the world gauge the value of serving Christ by our example. They see us do something that's maybe questionable. What do you think they're going to think? Well, I thought heaven really meant something to him. Maybe not. People of the world look to see if we walk the talk. I read in a cookbook some time ago, and I think Beth was talking about this with Damon the other day, but I read in this cookbook, of all places, it says, be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible that some people read. There's a lot of truth in that. That's the kind of example that we're supposed to set forth. That's what the Bible teaches. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's again their way of life, their behavior, the actions that they put forth. Without speaking a word, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Without speaking a word, but only by example, you can win over the hearts of the husband. We need to ask ourselves, is my example showing those in the body, is my example showing the world what it means to be a faithful Christian? We need to ask ourselves, if every member used my example, would the church be strong? Would the church be growing if every member of the body was just like me? Would the church even exist if every member of the body was just like me? Is my example helping or hindering the cause of Christ? We just celebrated the 4th of July, independence of our nation. We live in the freest country in the world. Men have died to make this country free. Christ died to make us free. There's no real obstacles to keep us from being the examples that we ought to be. I want to leave you with this, and I want you to think about this. There's no way that you can escape being an example to other people. The question is, what kind of example are you going to be? What kind of example am I going to be? Because no matter what we do, we're going to be an example. We just got to be the right kind of example. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we can help you become a Christian. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. He died to make us free. He died to show us what kind of an example we need to follow. If you are a Christian and you've fallen away, well, there's still power in the blood. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all our sins. If you're not a Christian and you wish to become one, we can help you with that. If you are a Christian and you've fallen away, we can help you with that also. Let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.